We'll take just a minute this morning. And if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles, if you would, chapter 29. We're studying men and women of Scripture that can give us some examples, both good examples and both bad examples. We're trying to learn from them, things that we can add to our lives. Now, I will tell you this. This morning, a lady came up to me and she said, "Pastor, I thought I'd tell you something a little humorous. We got here for church. I think it was Tuesday night or Thursday night. I don't remember when it was. And we got here a little early. So we were sitting there waiting for the revival to start. And, you know, the revival services. And he punched his mom and says, "Mom, when does the survival service start in a few minutes?" So we got to explain to our children a little bit better. It's not a survival service. It's a revival service. So anyway, the little one, he was wanting to make sure that he was a part of the survival service. And I'm glad you, many people were a part of the survival service this past week. I appreciate your faithfulness. It's a great blessing to my heart. It seemed to end quickly, but it was a great blessing, and I appreciate all of it. If you have your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Now, let me pause for a minute. Tell me everything you know about Hezekiah. Anybody know anything about Hezekiah? Who was he? Anybody know anything about Hezekiah? Who was he? Anybody know? Hezekiah was what? What was it, James? He was a king. Okay, he's a king of Judah. All right. Now, does anybody know anything else about him? Yes, sir, Phil? Okay, all right, I think you're talking about Jehoshaphat. Let me see right here. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
He followed the Lord as much as he could. He was trying to send a revival in.
Okay, he followed the Lord as much as he could. Well, we're going to look at him today. I think there's some really good thing lessons we can learn, okay? We can learn some lessons. If you have your Bible, chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, verse number 1. And Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. Now watch this. And his mother's name was Abijah and the daughter of Zechariah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Now one of the things we can learn about that one verse is this. David had a heart to do what's right. He didn't always do it. But his direction was, "Lord, I want to please you." When he stumbled and stumped his toe and fell into sin, he would come right back and say, "Oh, Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me." So God looked at him and said, notice in verse 2, he says, according to all that David, his father, had done. David in general was given the grace to say that David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now folks, that gives me hope. Because I haven't committed adultery and murder like David did. But God forgave him and he got his heart right and said, "Lord, I am truly sorry. Please forgive me." If you read Psalm 51, you see a psalm of apology to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Okay, I forgive it. I'll put it aside." Now, there's a price to pay for it. And you know that the sword never parted from David's family. I mean, his son tried to take over his kingdom, and he was killed for it. And Amnon, his son, raped a sister. And there were a lot of things that happened as a result. Now, let me explain this to you. When we obey the Lord, God blesses us. But when we step out of line, the Lord steps back a little bit and allows Satan sometimes to come in and attack us because of our sin. And then God puts a limit on it and says, "That's enough, no more." The idea was to correct us. If in Hebrews chapter 11, the Lord is trying to correct us to get us to do what's right. But he doesn't come in and thrash us. He's very willing to forgive us and to make our punishment and correction less than it should be. That's the character of our great God. So all of us should rejoice in that. I am so thankful that God doesn't punish me or correct me according to my sins necessarily. He is always gracious and merciful. And you and I can take great care or comfort in that. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Now, keep in mind, let me present to you the scene. Hezekiah is has taken over Judah as he's the king of Judah. They are very wayward. They are wicked in heart. They are worshiping false gods. They are worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth, any god of the Philistines or the Hittites or the Canaanites. They're worshiping all their false gods. They're not worshiping Jehovah. And so he wants a revival to happen. He wants to bring everybody back to the Lord. And literally in his day, it would have been a survival to try to get everybody back to the Lord so that God didn't destroy them all. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 3, and he in the first year of his reign in the first month. Now, I like this part. The first year, the first month, he comes in right out of the box and says, notice this, open the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So the house of God was torn down. So how can you get close to the Lord if the church has got cobwebs in it? Nobody's used it for years and years and years. And that was his circumstance. And folks, that's why we always have to keep the Lord in our heart as first place, so that this place, which is the Lord's house, always is a priority in our lives. We don't let our activities and our functions take over the presence of the Lord and come into his house. He said to us in Hebrews 10 that we're always to come to the house of God every time the doors are open. That's what he said to us. Well, I want you to be there. I want you to meet with me. I need you. Well, there was no place to go. The people had strayed so far away from the Lord. Now listen very carefully. How many have ever seen a church, been to a church where there's only two or three people in it? Okay. Now, it had people, and then it's kind of dwindled away. Very sad. It's exactly the same thing here. People decided, I don't want to go to church. I'm going to go over here to first Baal worship. And so they left, and the church of God, the doors were closed because nobody was interested. Folks, we can't let that happen, because this is the Lord's house. We see it in God's word. We want to worship the Lord. We got to put everything else aside and come into this place and say, Lord, it's just you and I. Would you speak to my heart today? You always have to have someone that takes the word of God and opens it up and says, thus saith the Lord. That's critical. But you have to have a heart to say, I want my children to know this, and I want to know this, and I want to walk with the Lord. Hezekiah becomes king of a country that nobody went to church. How horrible. As a matter of fact, the doors have been shut, broken down, cobwebs in the Lord's house, things broken down. And in the first year, the first month. Does that tell you his importance? When I become king, I'm going to do my best to bring the people back to the Lord. I'm going to provide opportunity. And folks, when you come, you're providing an opportunity for other people to come. It's important, Ron back here and Julian, that they have a place to come. They're visitors today. But if you're not here, they don't have a place to go necessarily. Oh, they might look for another place. Sure. And in Northern Virginia, there are 800 churches, but not all of them are using God's word. And so we want to provide a place where the word of God is preeminent. We're studying the word of God every service. We're looking in the word of God and saying, Lord, what do you speak to my heart about? It's not about us entertaining people or having functions and activities. Now look, next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're putting in a new coffee maker down there in the where the coffee is. How many of you went down and got some coffee this morning? Or went down and got a donut? How many of you did that? Anybody here like that? Okay. All right, Brother Terry. Next week, Brother Terry, we're going to have a coffee machine down there. You walk up and you push the button and it gives you a latte. I don't even know what that is, but I just heard people like it. Or you can push the button and it gives you an espresso. I don't know what that is because I've never had one. But then you can push it and it does a cup of hot chocolate. I know what that is and I like that very much. Okay, now at the new building, we have seats that are light colored. And so everybody, all the ladies said, oh, Pastor, that's going to stain up. So you know what I did this week? I said, now this is the house of the Lord. So the gentleman that came in with the sample of the pews, the material came in. He says, Pastor, I want you to watch this. And he poured water on it. And he said, see, there water, it just beads up. It's not going to stain it. And I said, okay. I had a cup of hot coffee in my hand. I poured it on it, and it beat it up. And then I went in here, we came and got some Lord's Supper. What's in that? Grape juice. Took that, opened up, and poured that on there. Then we got some coffee creamer and poured that on there. And I left it all there. I got pictures of it. I left it on there all morning, 4 hours. Went back in there and wiped it off. Wow. Pretty cool. So I'm just telling you, if you bring in with coffee in the new building and you spill it, it's going to run down on your seats, okay? Because it's not going to get on the carpet. It's not going to get on the pew. It's going to get all over you. So, we're looking at it and we're trying to make it where it's the Lord's house. So we're trying to make it where we're not going to probably have coffee in the auditorium because we'll have other classrooms and stuff like that, but we'll have seats that are of the same material. We'll have chairs around different classrooms and stuff like that. So again, back to the coffee maker. So you go in there and you can go down there next week and you push it in. Maybe even Wednesday night, you go in and try it. Push the button and it does 150 cups a day. So if you want one or two, we're not going to charge for it. We're going to try to make it for our guests to come in. And we're going to try it and see if we like it or not. We may not like it, but we're going to try it and see. Okay, the idea is want people to come and feel comfortable. You know why? If I can trade a cup of coffee for giving the gospel to somebody, I'll do that every time. But it's not about the coffee. Not about the donuts. Now, we can get a lot of kids that'll listen to the gospel if we give them a couple donuts, all right? But our goal is to share the gospel with people. So we want to have enough activities and ministries that people want their children to come. They want their families to come. We want it to be a strong family place where like here, no one went to church. What a terrible circumstance to be no place to go. That's the reason we're involved in missions so heavily, because there are people around the world that if you didn't go there and help build a church, or if there were no missionaries there, where would the people go to church? They wouldn't. Let's see here. We went to, did you go with us to the Philippines, Manuel? Okay. Do you remember that church out in the field? Okay. Went out of the church. They were starting a church in the field, and the pastor slept on boards that he had sawed up with his chainsaw, and it was in the middle in the open field. And they had probably 20, 25 people met there, and he would play the guitar, and we said, wow. And they said, he's starting a church. He's a missionary out of the main church. That he came there to start a church, and he makes his living sawing up the trees and selling the wood. And so he built a little area there on the side of the road, and there was a church there. Folks, there are people, 20, 25 people that went there and says, we've got a church to go to. We can hear about the Lord now. What is that worth? Well, the Lord says that's worth more than the whole world to see people saved and growing in the Lord. Hezekiah, whole country, not one church with open doors that preached the truth. So notice, if you would, in verse number 4, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So keep in mind, there was the temple that was there had trash and junk all in it. People had used it for storage. And he said, look, go in there and clean it out. Now, the priests knew the word of God and they knew what they were supposed to do. I don't know why they didn't do it. I don't know why they didn't keep the doors open, but they didn't. The preachers fell in the street. They didn't do what's right. So now with the new leadership, the king comes in and says, I want you to go and clean up the house of the Lord. So notice, if you would, number one, we're to care about the house of God. You ought to care about the house of God, that it stays open. So two things you've got to do. You've got to attend it and you've got to give to help it. You've got to pray for it. That's number 3. So that we keep the doors open. Nobody here is worried about the church closing up next week. But I'm telling you what, in 40 years you ought to be worried about it. To make sure that our grandchildren have a place to go to church. That's still right with the Lord. That's on fire. That wants to see people saved. That wants to reach the world. That's important, folks. But it's going to happen with us. Hezekiah had that heart. He had a revivalist heart. We've got to get back to the things of God. And that's why we have a revival. Most churches today don't have revivals. There's just not a lot of them that do. It's a shot in the arm every once in a while. How many of you every once in a while get ill, and about once a year, maybe once every other year, you have to go to the doctor, either get a shot or get some antibiotics. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Raise it up. Okay? Many of you. All right? What would you do if there was no place to go? That's what a revival is. It's to give us a shot in the arm, to help us, get things back right. But, you know, I don't really notice it most of the time. I notice when I'm running a fever. How many of you ever run a fever and didn't realize you were running a fever? Let me see your hand. Raise it up. You ran a fever, but you didn't realize it. Every morning we have temperature gauges in the building from COVID. And every once in a while I walk by and I flip it on, put my hand up there and check my temperature. So far, my temperature has always been 97.6. So I don't know why it's so low, but it just is. I don't have a cold heart. I just got a cold body, okay? And so I put my hand on there and it works. And so I said, okay, I'm good. There's sometimes I've been out doing stuff and I'm sweating. I said, you know, maybe I ought to check. Maybe I'm running a fever. Check it, 97.8. I said, okay, I'm good. But a lot of times I've been sick, didn't realize it, just kept right on going. It happened Sunday about a month and a half ago. Janet came up to me and said, yeah, I'm going to check your temperature. I said, I'm fine. Check my temperature. I was running a fever. Oh, you know what night that was? Saturday night. The old devil always gets me on a Sunday. That's when he does. He doesn't get me Monday to Friday. He gets me on a Saturday night and a Sunday, so I can't come to church. Boy, it just kills me. And so I look at it and I say, Lord, I want to go. Well, you'll notice here there was one man that wanted to go, and that was the king. That tells me you and I can make a difference, one person. Oh, we may not be the king, but we can still make a difference. Now, follow along with me. Notice this. We must be willing to put away future sins in order to be like Hezekiah. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 10, he says, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. He said, I want to put away my sin. It's in my heart. Is that in your heart? Lord, I don't want you to be angry with me. I want to worship you. You'll notice in verse number 15, and they gathered their brethren together and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord. So look here, let's get the order. I may get up here and I say, look, you need to get your heart right. Look, everybody here, look into your own heart and say, you know, I've got a weakness toward covetousness. I got a weakness toward, well, I'm not as honest as I should be, or I'm not as hardworking as I should be, like the Lord wants me to do. I have to be careful with my language. Look, I'm to preach the word of God, and you're to say, you know what? God didn't want that. I need to fix it. Notice the wording here. And they gathered their brethren together and sanctified themselves. So they got their hearts right. They said, okay, I'm going to get my life right. Notice according, and came according to the commandment of the king. Okay, let me be the person that is interested in your spiritual condition according to commandment of the pastor. But notice this, by the words of the Lord. It's not just me. I'm just the mouthpiece. The word of God is the instruction. That's what we're to follow. Why do you think we have 800 churches in Northern Virginia? And most of them don't use the word of God. Because some charismatic guy got up and said, hey, I think this and I think that, and you ought to do this, and you ought to do that. And they left out by the words of the Lord. We can never leave that out. You've got to always bring a copy of the scriptures. Just this week, this morning, someone came up to me and said, my son and his family visited a church, and the wife came out and said, I don't know if I've ever heard that before. He pulls up his Bible, looks it up, and says, the reason you haven't heard it before is because it's not in there. It's important for you to check out everything that's said from this pulpit, because all of us want to obey the words of the Lord. That's the bottom line. It's not what Pastor Pittman says. You only do what Pastor Pittman says as long as it's according to the words of God. That's critical. Anybody that wants to worship the Lord, that's the rule of thumb. So notice again what he says, according to the commandment of the king, or according to the commandment of the pastor, but by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Remember this, it's always the word of God as the foundation. That's what you and I look for. We know now, notice if you would, not only that, but we must prepare our hearts. You've got to prepare yours. Well, we got to clean them up. But notice in verse number 18. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord. Okay, the house of God is good. Now watch this. And the altar of the burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. And you'll notice he says, moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, there before the altar of the Lord. Maybe there's some things in your life that you kind of threw away over time. Maybe you you didn't pray as much now as you used to. Maybe you didn't read the Bible as much as you used to. Maybe you didn't think about the things of the Lord. There were things in your life that you kind of, because of the things of life, you've been busy with doing things in this life. Anybody here ever done that? Doing things in this life, and I sort of put aside important things. That's what they said. The priest said, we've gotten our hearts right. We've prepared our hearts. We have gone back and found the things that we stopped doing, and we've brought them back in. The things that were in the house of God that we used, we brought them back in now. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19, they are, very last phrase, they are before the altar of the Lord. You could say, now they're before the altar of the Lord. We've gone back and gotten those things and cleaned them up and brought them back. Now, folks, all of us, if we're not careful, can drift. That's human nature. We drift. Let me ask this question. How many of you notice that it's harder to keep your weight at a certain level as you get older? For the most part of us, okay? There are some people that by God's gift, they don't have to worry about it. Scott. I like to kick Scott in the shin when we go out to eat. He can eat anything, all he wants to eat, and never gain an ounce. And he, now listen to this. He tries to gain weight. Oh, for that kind of a mindset. I want to just go and eat whatever I want to eat, all I want to eat. Yesterday, I sinned. Took my grandchildren, Janet and I took grandchildren up to West Virginia. We rode the Getty Peds. How many of you know what those are? Okay, it's in Gettysburg. They have a little three-wheel kind of a cart that it's roadworthy. You have to have a driver's license. And so we got on it and drove through the battlefields, and we stopped by and got a big Subway sandwich, and we had pretzels, and we had beef jerky. We stopped, and, man, we just had a big party. Went out there, and we stopped and had a picnic in the battlegrounds of Gettysburg. And then we got back in the car, and Janet really wanted to go back. She's my fly in the ointment. She wanted to go back and go to Nutter's. Anybody know what Nutter's is? Anybody know what Nutter's is? Okay. I've got a picture. You got to see me after Sunday school. It's an ice cream shop. It's been there about 35 years. And it is one we found when we were riding bikes, and we rode our bikes down the B&O Canal Trail in Maryland, right beside the river, turned and went back to get something to drink in town of, not Antietam, but in town of, what's the name of that town? Pardon me? Sharpsburg. And we rode right into the middle of a town as we came out of the village, and we rode right into town, and there's a Nutter's. Now, I love ice cream. So we went in there and said, okay. I said, I want a large ice cream on a cone. And the lady looked at me and went, I don't know. I said, what's wrong? I'll try. So she starts dipping. It's six dips of ice cream is large. And they're all about that big around. They keep rolling it to get around there. I'm not kidding you. When she got to medium, I said, stop. And I've got a picture. You've got to see it. Well, she wanted to take the grandkids to Nutter's. I said, honey. So everybody here has a fly in the ointment someplace. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your wife. I don't know. But we all got a fly in the ointment we have to watch out for. And so we go to Nutter's, and guess what? We go in there, and everybody, I said, give me a medium, because I have a weakness for ice cream. It's great ice cream, homemade ice cream, I guess. And I got an ice cream cone, huge ice cream cone, a chocolate. Anybody heard of Moose Tracks? Oh, got Moose Tracks on the top. It was wonderful. And then all the grandkids, they got them too. I mean, they got these big in cups. And we're standing out there eating it, and I'm licking, trying to keep it off my hand. And the one guy comes up to me, and these two older guys, they say, yeah, we live here. And when we got there, the line was out the door. Now, this is October. The line's out the door trying to get into Nutter's. And they just keep piling it on. And so they said, okay, we don't take cash. So I had to run back, get the credit card back, and give Janet, and she took it out of her purse. We had the money, and we got big old three of them like this, Micah, Michaela, and Janet. And then I got a big one on a cone. And I'm licking like crazy, and they're just dipping theirs like no problem at all. And the one guy comes and says, you know, I used to get it on a cone too, but it dripped all over me. I don't want to do that anymore. I said, now you tell me. And I got it run off my hand. And so we ate it all. We walked up the line to pay for it. You know how much it was? No, I mean, I had this huge, I'll show it to you what I had. And we had all these cones. It was $10.12. My cone that big was $2.85. I didn't even ask the question. Is that right or not? Too many people in line. I didn't want to get run over. I just said, I'll take it and run. And so we went out and we ate them. Every one of us, and then I didn't want to get on the scales this morning. You see, that happens to all of us. I don't want to go to church this morning and listen to the message because the Holy Spirit's going to get a hold of my heart when I don't do right the day before. So the idea here was, they said, we've prepared. We're planning on doing what's right. And so we brought everything into the house of God. We're prepared. Are you prepared today to do what's right next week? That's a critical thing. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in chapter 30, verse number 18, I want you to notice this. Verse number 18, but Hezekiah prayed, this is the last part of the verse, for them. Now, I'm praying for you. But Hezekiah prayed for the children of Judah, saying, the Lord God pardon everyone. Look, I want you to know something tonight. I've been your pastor for 33 and a half years. I don't want one person in this room to get what you deserve. I want the Lord to be better to you. I want him to forgive you. He's got to forgive me. He's got to forgive all of us. So Lord, please don't let Robert get what he deserves. I know Robert's trying to do what's right, or Brother Derek trying to do what's right, but Lord, when they do make a mistake, forgive them. That's what he says. Okay? Somebody here, you got to be doing that for your family. Lord, forgive them. There's got to be somebody somewhere that's prepared to do what's right. Now notice the next verse. That the Lord pardon every one of them that prepareth his heart to seek the Lord. Now, I'm going to assume everybody in this room wants to do what's right because you're here in Sunday school. You're not just running into church and running out and that's all I see you for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You folks are here. Janet's got the list and she marks everybody down and says, you know, everybody here was here last week, or most of you were, or here the week before that. Look, the idea is that I want you to be blessed of God. I want you to be forgiven, but I want you to be blessed. But you'll notice here, he says, that prepareth his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Though you come into church and maybe there's something in your life that's not right yet, Lord, would you pardon them anyway? And Lord, bring it to their attention so they can get it right before you. That's my prayer. I'm going to speak on that this morning. Look, I want you to be blessed of the Lord. Hezekiah said, I want the people of Judah to be blessed of God. We ought to have that heart. We prepare our own hearts and say, Lord, would you bless my children? Would you bless my grandchildren? Oh, they're not here. They're someplace else. But Lord, would you bless them? Do you understand this morning? Somebody in the family's got to stand up and say, I'll be the Hezekiah. I'll be the one to keep the doors open. I'll be the one to say, I'm going. If you go or don't go, I'm going. I'm going to prepare my heart, no matter if you do or don't. If you do that, the children have a chance to please the Lord. Notice, if you would, look in verse number 20. And the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. That's what you want. I want you to be healed. I want you to be blessed of the Lord. I want the Lord. Now notice in verse 22. And the king, wait a minute, let's go to verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. Now, they were there at the opening of the house of the Lord. Did you notice the phrase? I hope you didn't miss it. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem, that were present at church. That's what he's saying. Everybody wasn't present. Notice what he says. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And verse 22, and Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. Look, that's what I want you to help your family to do, to help your church family to do. That we could come to the Lord's house. Number one, we'd be here. We'd pray for them. And number two, that when they're here, it would make an impact on their life. That's what I want for everybody that's here. I want you to come and let it be an impact in your life, but in the impact of the people you've been praying for and walking, putting footsteps down so that your children and grandchildren can see the way to go. What's it like if there are no fathers that want to do what's right? That's Hezekiah. Somebody's got to start the return to the Lord. Somebody's got to keep it going. Now, next week, we're going to come back and learn some more about Hezekiah. He is a great character in Scripture. He's 25 years old and he decides to do what's right and he opens up the house of God. What a heart. I'm not 25. Nobody in this room is 25 that I know of. But you know what? We can have the heart of Hezekiah. Now, even when he made a mistake, we're going to see that. You're going to see God says, okay, I forgive you, and I'll still bless you, and I'll bless the people. That's what we want. Folks, have the heart of Hezekiah for your family, for your wife and your husband, for your children and grandchildren. All of us, Lord, I want your blessing upon my life. I want you not to punish my family like they deserve. And God says, notice, look at verse 19. And the Lord, excuse me, this is 2 Chronicles 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. That's what you want. That's what I want. I want the people of Temple Baptist Church to be healed. I want the families of Temple Baptist Church to be healed. And you know what? It started with the leader. It started with Hezekiah, 25 years old. It can start with you. Let's have the heart of Hezekiah and make a difference this week. Let's bow forward in prayer. Father, would you help us to put it in the back of our minds that we do need to prepare to worship you. And Lord, if we've been a little slack with coming to church, we've been a little slack, dear Lord, with doing some of our devotions. We've been a little slack with talking with you. Lord, help us to open up the doors of our heart and say, Lord, help me. I want to return to you. I want to be close to you. And Father, if we have family members, which I'm sure all of us do, help us to pray for them, lift them up. Lord, would you help them to return to you also? In your name we pray, amen.